KDS.
Let me get my timer out. I'm Katie, I'm an addict. Hey. Hi. My clean date is May 27th of 2006. And usually I'm not very nervous. I usually just get kind of excited because I know once it's over with, I'll feel really good. but I'm a little nervous tonight because I had a really hard time with this topic. So I'm just going to hop right into it. I'll give you a little snippet of me. I am from Katy, and my home group is Surrender to Win in Katy, Texas. I got clean when I was 17 years old. Today I have 13 years clean. I'm 30, happily married to a guy I met in the fellowship, which the one guy I met in the fellowship, let's clarify that. I swore I would never date in the rooms, and I avoided ever dating in the rooms, but then there was that exception, and 4 kids later, and we're still happy, so that's good. So that's me. I've always kept a sponsor and worked steps, and I'm extremely grateful for my clean date and the life that it's given me. So with this topic, just roll with me, right? Just come along, strap in for the roller coaster ride, and don't judge me just yet. So the topic is, it's not recovery that is painful. Our resistance to it is what hurts. And I was given that topic, and I've never been given a topic that I don't agree with. And it really, don't walk out. They'd be like, this chick didn't agree with the literature. Oh my gosh. You know, I love the literature. I'm pretty familiar with the literature. I highlight, you know, and can quote the important stuff. So this was really hard for me to read this and think that I didn't agree with it. And there's a part in the flat book in the first step that asks, have we read anything or have we heard anything in meetings that we have trouble believing? Right? I don't know if anybody remembers that question in the first step, because when I worked the first couple first steps, my answer to that question was always that people lose the desire to use. I would hear people share in meetings that they had lost the desire to use, and I was like, you're a liar. You're lying. Like, okay, sure, you have 3 years, I believe that. Okay, you're happy today, I believe that. But you lost the desire to use, I didn't believe it. But I can say that most days I don't have the desire to use. I've lost that desire to use. You know, so I learned through recovery that I was wrong. So maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't know. But when I read that it's not recovery that is painful, our resistance to it is what hurts, there's truth in that. When I resist my recovery or I resist my program, it is more painful. But I can't honestly say that my recovery has been painless. You know, like, I don't know, people. I don't know about you guys. But when I think about, so I got real, like, teachery, right? I was like, I was afraid to come in and admit that I wasn't feeling this topic. And so I was like, I better make sure I totally am in agreement with what my mind and heart is telling me. And so, of course, I'm like, I'm going to go old school and get that dictionary. And I looked up the word recovery, like Webster's definition, right? And so it said, a return to a normal state of health, mind, and strength. I can get with that. That's cool. Like recovery, I'm returning to a normal state of health, mind, and strength in regards to my addiction. And I just feel like I wouldn't tell a newcomer that recovery is not painful, ever. And that if you're in pain in recovery, it's because you're resisting it. I don't know. I don't think I could honestly say that, because I've had a lot of times in my recovery where I was doing everything right and the process was painful, and that was okay. And I think it's okay for me to be in pain when I'm, like, I feel like as an addict, I look at pain as a bad thing. Like, oh, pain. Like, I need to be happy all the time. I need to feel good all the time. If I'm in pain, something's wrong. You know, but there's a lot of times in my recovery where I'm really working a step and I'm digging deep and I'm in those feelings and it's painful. And that's okay. I'm recovering, you know, and I'm not resisting that step. I'm walking through the emotions. I mentioned I got clean at 17, so I really did grow up in the rooms, you know, like, from 17 on, and so learning how to date, that was painful, right? That sucked, and that was part of my recovery process and growing up process and, you know, how to be a lady type of things. I was just like, what the F is this? And thankfully, there was a lot of cool women in the rooms that reached out to me, but getting clean and admitting my past actions to another person, getting honest with my sponsor and telling her this is who I was in active addiction and these are the things that I did, that was painful. It was needed, but I had to bring to light the person I became when I got high. And I don't like that person, and I did a lot of things that I found really shameful and hurtful. So to sit down with another human being and be honest, was it freeing? Yes. Was it helpful? Yes. Was it painless? No. You know, so when I read, like, it's not recovery that's painful, it's our resistance. It felt like, if you're in pain, it's your own fault. And I just kind of felt like, I don't know. Sorry if you don't like me, but I was just like, damn, I don't know. That just felt, it felt like I wouldn't tell a newcomer that recovery isn't going to be painful sometimes. And even if you're in pain, it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. I have a 5-year-old, and that kid has wicked growing pains. He wakes up in the middle of the night, and he's crying, and I can hear him in his bed on the other side of the house, kicking his legs in his bed, and I'm like, he's about to wake up. And he comes in my room, he's like, Mom, will you rub my legs? And I sit on the edge of his bed, and I rub his little 5-year-old calves, you know, like falling asleep, waiting for him to fall back asleep. My son has growing pains, and when I think of that, I think about my recovery. I have growing pains, and that's all right. You know, that's part of the process. At least it was for me. Making amends, I made some amends in this, not in the fellowship with other people, but through my step work, amends with family members or things like that that were painful. Were they beneficial? Were they healing? Sure, but were they painful? Yeah. So it was kind of, you know, a little bit rough for me, but when I read our resistance to it is what hurts, that I can totally get with, because I've resisted a lot in my recovery. With my first fourth step, I got so twisted off of my brain and in so much pain over my first fourth step that I had kind of put myself in a position where I told myself I was either going to share this one thing or I was going to use. And I had written out my fourth step, and then I took a separate piece of paper and I wrote that one thing, and I kept it folded in my pocket for like 2 weeks. And when I processed with my sponsor, it's like I had my flat book and my journal, you know, and I'm like, okay, that way she won't see that I'm skipping anything. And then, you know, the flat book's freaking tricky, man. They do all the, like, is there anything that we've left out? And the next question is, like, is there anything else that comes to mind? And the next question is, like, one last time. It's like, they know addicts. Say, like, okay, written by addicts, gotcha. It's like, this is your last chance, you know? And I got to that very last question of the fourth step that's, like, is there anything else? And I just remember sitting there and just started sobbing and thought, I don't want to get high. And so I'm like getting this out of my pocket. And I'm sure my sponsor's like, oh, shit. Like, it was all like, you know, messed up and been in my pocket for 2 weeks. That showed you my hygiene level at that point. I probably wore the same pants for 2 weeks. But I shared that one thing that I felt I was going to, was worth going back out over. I was just telling myself, let me get to that point and see if it's worth sharing. And if not, I'll go use, because I'm not able to share it, right? So So I shared it and I worked through it. But that resistance I had for that 2 weeks with that piece of paper in my pocket was one of the most painful 2 weeks of my recovery. Not when I lost parents, not when I lost friends to the disease, not the end of relationships, not any tragic thing you can go through in life. One of the most painful points of my recovery was that 2 weeks of resisting. And ever since the freedom that I got from that fourth step, every time I get to a fourth step, I'm like, oh, it's on. Like, dump fest. I'm willing to just put it all out there because I learned so quickly. Joseph likes dump fest, apparently. I learned so quickly in this program that for me, it's way easier to just get honest than to fight it. And just get ugly and then get over it. Right, because I held on to things for way too long. Well, till 17, but that was way too long for me. My threshold for pain is also obviously very low. You know, I think that's why I got clean young, because I was a wuss. I was like, I mean, I left my parents' house and was, you know, homeless by choice for about a year, and that was it. I was out. You know, like when I see people on the streets that have been homeless, or they come into the rooms and, you know, they've been doing things for 40 years. I'm like, damn, your threshold for pain is huge. So mine was real minimal, and I used to be embarrassed by that. Like, when I first got clean, I was embarrassed about my age or my threshold for pain, you know. And but now I'm proud of it. I'm like, how freaking cool that I got clean that young, or how cool that I'm so glad I'm a wuss. Like, this works out for my benefit in this situation. Like, I'm a sissy, I can't do it anymore, I'm done. But, you know, I know that I'm not a wuss, because the things that I've had to face in recovery and work through in recovery, they were a lot of work, and every little tiny bit of it has been absolutely worth it. There's another part that says, using is about distortion. This is right after that sentence. So using is about distortion. We are drawn to things that distort our perception. And so, of course, you know, I was like, well, let me look up distortion, because I hear distortion and I just think of Social Distortion, and it's a really good band, and I have to, like, reel my mind in. I was like, let me look up the word so I'm on the right page. And so for distortion, it said a misleading impression. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Using is about a misleading impression. I was like, that's my whole life. Like, I would love my whole life to just be a misleading impression. It says we are drawn to things that distort our perception. From drug use to resentment, sanity is living in harmony with reality. I love anything that distorts my perception of things. And I'll go down the line, right? I stopped using drugs, and, well, it's always been food. I'll start there. It was food before it was drugs. Like, I was the chick, or not the chick. I was a little girl that, like, I hid, like, Hostess under my bed. There were 5 kids. If you didn't, you weren't going to get one, right? So I was, like, hiding food under my bed. And then I knew there was something different about me because I have a couple sisters. And we would all go trick-or-treating, and we'd all have a whole pillow. Like, we had pillowcases because that's just how we were. And we'd all get our pillowcases full of trick-or-treat candy, right? And my sisters, like, their trick-or-treat candy would last, like, November, December, January. They'd be, like, pulling Tootsie Rolls out from under their mattress that they'd been, like, hoarding away. Mine was gone, like, the next day. Like, and I'd get so pissed off, and I'd be like, please, can I have some of your Halloween candy? And they're like, no, it's your own fault. You ate it all the same night. You know, so that's just the whole, that's me. If you want to know who I am, that's me. Gone in a night, right? And my dope was the same way. I had friends that could keep their bag of dope for the weekend on Friday. This is for the weekend. I'm like, this is for right now, all of it. Like, my mind didn't separate that. And ever since I've gotten clean, it's just been whack-a-mole of what's Katie's next thing gonna be, you know? And it's gone from, I like, whacked the drugs down, and then it was food again, and then I knocked the food down, and then it's like relationships, attention seeking. I'm coming on. You got it. I will, because that's me, like just constant coming up. At one point, when I was like 18 or 19, I worked for CVS. Oh man, those extra bucks. You know that receipt that's 10 feet long? It's 10 feet long for a reason, guys. Look at it. I started finagling the system, and I was like couponing, doing all this crazy crap, and I'd be like, I got 14 bottles of Herbal Essences shampoo for $2.57, you know? But it was like this like obsession to like, how can I, you know, rip off the man or whatever, and then I'm living with roommates and there's no space in the bathroom because I have like 47 Vidal Sassoons under the counter, and I'm like, I was couponing, you know, it was making my life unmanageable. It was ridiculous. So like I can go from any little thing, if it's going to distort my perception, if it's going to make me feel even a little bit good. Have you guys ever had the Energy Crystal Light packets? Oh my God. Seriously, I went from like one packet, little Crystal Light, like it's water, it's hydrating me, to like 10 packets. I was angry, I was raging, I was pissed off. Come to find out, it's like 4 cups of coffee per packet. So that's like, what, 40 cups of coffee a day? Because I was like, I don't drink coffee. I just drink 10 packets of Energy Crystal Light. So my life just becomes unmanageable. If it's going to make me feel a little bit good or a little bit better, I'm going to go for it. And when I'm doing those things, I feel like I'm resisting my recovery. Because for me, the point of my recovery and the point of this whole process is to be as much of Katie as I can be. You know, I just want to be, we talk about peeling back the layers of the onion, right? It's like, I just want to be as me as possible. And the things that distort my perception or make me feel better or, you know, different, that's not me. That's not just the raw who I am. So for me, it's important to just try and do that whack-a-mole thing. Like, try to just, like, what's in my life right now that doesn't need to be? And on every time, it's like, and it can be something dumb. Like, I'll take care of it, and it's like, I'm on my phone way too much. I take care of it. Now I'm doing this way too, you know, whatever. And I think it's probably going to be like that for the rest of my life. But the hope that I have is that it went from, like, you know, crack and Xanax to Energy Crystal Light. And so I'm like, there's a lot of growth there. Like, you know, like, wow, good job, Katie. You know, like we talk about like the path gets narrower in recovery. And I didn't really follow that. I didn't really kind of like get what that meant, you know, and now I'm getting it because I've gotten into this place. My personality is, I'm totally accepting of you. I love unconditionally. I love all sorts of people, but I'm extremely hard on myself. I do not love myself unconditionally, and I'm not accepting of my flaws. You know, it's like, I can be just like, oh, to everyone but me. You know, so my goal in recovery is to be good with me. My grand sponsor has a favorite sentence. Oh, this isn't the basic text. In the basic text, and the sentence is, what we want most is to feel good about ourselves. So simple. It's like, God, if somebody was like, you know, write a biography of your life, Katie, or whatever, autobiography, I don't know how you say it when the own person's writing it, but it would literally just be one sentence. What I want most is to feel good about myself. The end. Like, that's my whole life, is like, I started using because I wanted to feel good about myself. I hid food under my bed as a kid because I wanted to feel good about myself. I ate a crap load of Halloween candy because I wanted to feel good. I, you know, everything I do is to feel good about myself. And when I think about the road getting narrower, that's exactly what's happened for me in recovery, where it's like, okay, I stopped doing drugs, and then I stopped acting out promiscuously, And then I stop attention seeking. I have a pretty quick wit, and I used to use that a lot to, like, put other people down to be funny, or so I stopped doing that. I wanted to be a mom, and I was afraid of being a mom who smoked, so I stopped smoking cigarettes. And then I realized I can't cuss, like, at meetings and in other places and not cuss at home, and my kids repeat what I say. So then I stopped cussing, and the road got narrower. You know, it's just like, the walls closing in is kind of what it feels like sometimes. Like, how much narrower are we gonna freaking get? You know, and but that's good, because when I'm doing those things, I feel like I'm more myself. And one of the greatest gifts I've gotten out of recovery is I can just be me wherever I go. I'm the same Katie, whether it's at my home group, at a convention, at home, at a family Thanksgiving, which that took a long time. I'm me where I go. You know, I don't have different hats. I don't have, you know, a different person that I need to be. I can just be myself, you know. The only difference is, and I'm always going to need Narcotics Anonymous, is because when I'm at a family function, I don't talk about wanting to get high. Or I don't openly share the things I did in my active addiction, and my family goes, yeah, we understand. They don't say that. They don't say that. So I share those things here, you know, and my spiritual life is really important to me, and the literature talks about, you know, being cautious about going off on, like, a religious zeal, which kind of like, oh, like, I'm getting spiritually fed. I'm going to go here now. For me, it's been a great balance between, because I'm clean, I have a relationship with my higher power. Because I have that relationship with my higher power, I'm able to get fed here also. But I will always need Narcotics Anonymous, because I'm not going to go up to the pulpit at church and talk about wanting to smoke crack. You know, that's not going to be well received. Just like I don't come here and I don't talk about my beliefs. I share that I have a higher power, period. And that works for me. It's fulfilling. I got clean because I wanted to live a life. I needed the tools. I needed help on how to live a somewhat normal life. And to be honest, I don't think my life is really that normal. I think it's extraordinary. It's exceptional. It's very different than a lot of other people's lives, and it's because of this program. I have two best friends, and they're in their 50s, and I just turned 30, you know, and people don't get that, because in these rooms, age doesn't matter, you know. We identify with, because of our disease, it doesn't matter our background, our gender, our anything, none of that matters, because we're connected and unified in this program, and I love that. One of my favorite experiences was, I'd mentioned that I got clean young, and so I went back to high school to finish, and it was prom, and I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going to prom, you know, like, everybody's going to be using, and that's just not my style anyway. So I ended up going to a meeting, and then I went out to Denny's with, like, 40 other recovering addicts, and there's, you know, like, the guy chain smoking, like, with the oxygen tank, and the, like, bikers, and I'm just in the mix of this long table of all these people laughing and talking and all this, and, like, a whole gaggle of people from my high school come in, you know, like, after prom, you, like, go out, you know, have Denny's in your prom clothes, I guess that's what they do, I don't know, and they saw me. You know, I was like, oh, God. And somebody talked to me, and they're just kind of like, hey, is this your family? And I was like, yes, yep. I was like, I didn't go to prom because family's in town, you know? But that was the truth for me, you know? I was where I needed to be. I was with my family. And I love that about this fellowship, because there were not a lot of 17-year-olds surrounded by, you know, all those different types of people. But what it taught me in the rooms is it really shaped me for who I am. You know, it shaped me as a young adult and into where I'm at now. But I'm really grateful for this program. And I'm trying to think. I started at 10:07. I have like 4 or 5 more minutes. I'll wrap it up. When it talks about it's not recovery that is painful, our resistance to it is what hurts. My experience is that there have been moments in my recovery that are painful, and that's okay. But when I resist, it's like freaking tenfold. This is probably going to sound really crazy. But so when I had my kids, I was really into this thing called hypnobirthing. And it's like where you try to get into like a hypnosis. You try to get into a really meditative state during your birthing process. Hang with me, guys. It's all right. I won't get graphic. But I'll say this. I had a 10-pound baby, all right? So I needed all the meditation I could get. But the whole premise behind this hypnobirthing thing was that it comes with a book, and the first chapter of the book talks about all these women throughout history that have given birth in a coma because they're so relaxed that their body does the work for them. I know, hang with me. That their body does the work for them. So the purpose is to get yourself to meditate and relax as much as possible so that your body does the work for you, because the more you fight the labor, the longer the labor, and the more painful. See where I'm going? Okay. So for me, I was like, that's it. Recovery's like hypnobirthing. The more I fight it, the more drawn out, painful, strenuous this process is going to be for me. But if I can relax, if I could just dilate, no, I was kidding. It's like, if I could, which kind of fits, if I could dilate my mind, sorry. Oh. It's like, if I could just get myself to turn it over and relax and get in a meditative state and trust my higher power, let my higher power do the work, it's going to happen. You know, but naturally I fight it. I resist. And when I resist, there's pain. And I didn't get clean to be in pain. You know, I got clean to work through things, to grow, and to find joy. And so far I've done that. So thanks for letting me share.
Help me thank Katie S. for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Our next speaker is Joseph H. Give him a fucking hand.
I'm not going to sit down. I can't sit down. My name is Joseph. I'm an addict. Grateful recovering addict, man. My sponsor used to say, man, satisfied customer of the program of Narcotics Anonymous addict, like soul, thoroughly convinced addict, man, that like there's no question in my mind about it, man. You don't have to like convince me today that the program works, man. I've been through enough, man. I've experienced enough, man. A little bit of pain mixed with the moments of joy, sometimes sadness, sometimes I don't know, man. Enough stuff to know, man, that Narcotics Anonymous works. That this is it, man. This is the hit. This is the place. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I was meant to do. This is what I was handpicked for, was to be here sharing and carrying the NAA with an addict literally dying to hear it, just like I was when I got here. This is Narcotics Anonymous, man. We're like spiritual meets the everyday, man, and ordinary meets the extraordinary, man. Like we're like things that we thought were like detrimental and gonna keep us down forever turn into a life-saving message. Man. This is Narcotics Anonymous. If you ain't excited about this shit, if you ain't excited to be in recovery, man, if you ain't on fire enthusiastic about carrying this message, man, something wrong with that, man. We should be excited that we ain't putting dope in our body today, man. I ain't get loaded for almost the whole day. I ain't think about getting a hit. I ain't think about who I was going to use, man. I didn't think about the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. I ain't trying to survive, man, like I'm living today, man. I get to experience things in a way that I never thought I could. Talks about that in recovery, our ideas of fun change. What that mean to you, man? I know what it means to me, man. I don't have to do what I had to do or live how I had to live anymore. Man, I'm real nervous. She was talking about drinking these Crystal Light things, and it made me look at my thing. This has like 4 cups of coffee in it. I'm like, man, damn. I don't know, man. I cuss a lot. I get loud, man. That's just the way I am. I ain't yelling at you. I'm not talking at you. I ain't cussing at you. I'm just excited, and I just believe, man. Like the traditions talk about that we should seek to energetically carry this message, man. That like that enthusiasm is necessary to keep going, man. That without it, we start that downhill run again, man. That without it, man, if I ain't excited, I ain't gonna stay. Yeah. I ain't gonna stay. If I don't find something that excites me in my recovery, man, if I don't find something to latch onto, a reason to keep coming back, man, a reason to be like happy and on fire for this program, man, I won't stay. That's my experience, man. You better get plugged in. You better get connected, man. If people are clicking, man, get to clicking, man. Get in the car, say, where are we going? Don't wait to get invited, man. Don't, everybody ain't gonna come up to you and give you a hug. They not. I will. Rich will. Rich won't let go. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, man. I read the topic. I just read it today because I don't want to mind fuck myself and like start worrying about what I was going to share. Fuck it, man. Whatever comes out, I may stay on topic. I may not, man. I don't know. Talking about recovery isn't painful. Our resistance to it is what hurts, man. And it's like, addicts have a high tolerance for pain in the first place, man. So, like, what is it that it's really talking about, man? Like when it talks about painful, our resistance to it is what really hurts, man. She was touching on it, man, that, like, parts of life are just painful, period, man. But I think it's my perception of what that is that, like, decides what my experience of it is going to be, right? Because there's different levels of that. There's different types of that, man. Because, man, when things happen to us, man, like, there's no amount of spiritual awareness that can take the pain away from a painful situation, man. But my perspective of it, my idea of what it is, whether it's happening to me or it's happening for me, it's what decides how I experience that, right? Like that perspective, that perception that determines my experience. My angle of vision, how I'm looking at it, man. It ain't happening to me, baby. It's happening for me, man. We experience things for a reason, man. Everything has a reason. I don't gotta know what it is. I don't gotta understand it, man. I don't have to like resist it. I just need to do what I need to do and get through it, go through it. I have to. It's necessary. It says the ability to stay clean, that we have to face our problems head on. It's necessary. So why not from the start? Second step says recovery don't exempt us from having to go through painful situations. Getting clean doesn't mean you don't have to experience life. Getting clean doesn't mean that I'm going to make all the right decisions. Getting clean doesn't mean that stuff is not going to happen, man. That people ain't going to leave. That motherfuckers ain't going to get high. Everybody that you got clean with ain't going to stay clean forever. That's the reality of what we're dealing with. That's the nature of the disease, man. I don't give a damn how many steps you work. It don't care how good of a motherfucking sharer you are. It don't care. It don't care how many people like you, how many people showed up to hear you share, or how many times you get asked to speak. It don't care. We got a disease that wants me no matter what, and it'll do whatever it takes to bury me alive. And I ain't talking about with drugs, man. I ain't talking about just with drugs. People talk a lot about it wanting to kill us. I don't think so, man. I think it wants me alone, locked in a corner, miserable. Spiritually dying, man, cut off from all my people to help me, cut off from the love, cut off from the sharing experience, cut off from Narcotics Anonymous, cut off from the daughter, cut off from myself, cut off from the God of my understanding. I remember my first sponsor used to tell me, man, he said I used to try to negotiate the terms of my surrender. That's what he used to tell me. That's what he used to say, man. You cannot negotiate the terms of your surrender, mijo. You either want help or you don't. You either want to get clean and recover or you want to stay sick and keep dying. We get clean and I want help, but I ain't willing to take it. Like, I'll give, but I don't know how to receive, right? I'll help you in your situation, but when it comes time for me to listen, I don't want to hear it. I want to work steps, but I want to tell you which steps I want to work. I want to sponsor, man, but I only want people to know that you're my sponsor. I don't want to use you. I'm not going to call you, man. I just want to be seen with you. Or I only call you when shit's fucked up. I don't call you when the things are going my way. Right? Man, I could do the easy stuff. I could show up for the games, man. I could go to the family functions, man. But can I be there when they really need me, man? When somebody's picking on her in school, man, and she don't know what to do, man. And I got to be there to tell her, man, that you can't be going up there and you can't be hitting people and shit like that. Even though I want to tell her, man, you need to kick her ass. Can't negotiate the terms, man. Life is life. You get it how you get it. You live it how you live it, man. We receive and give all at the same time, man. It reciprocates. It does. We give in order to receive. We receive when we give, man. Like, I just gotta get in. I gotta wait in. I gotta go, man. I gotta get with it. I gotta get the help. I gotta share. I gotta let them know, man. I gotta tell them that it works so that I can remind myself that it does. Every time that I tell you that it works, man, I reinforce my own belief, man. Every time that I help you make it, man, I know I'm gonna make it. Each one teach one, man. One beggar telling another beggar where you found some bread. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, man. We're here to help each other stay clean for no other reason do we meet. But there's no other place that I have found that I could get that. My family don't understand. Doctors don't understand. They just throw medicine at you. My job don't understand. They just think I'm crazy. But Narcotics Anonymous does. I don't have to fight it, man. I don't have to continue to go against the grain, man. Like, yeah, if I want something I've never had, I got to do something that I ain't never done. And it feels weird, man. Doing the right thing feels fucked up sometimes. It does. I remember I used to tell my sponsor, man, why I feel like a punk every time that I gotta turn the other cheek, man. I got to just make it to the car, man. I got to not punch this dude in the face or whatever, man. Doing the right thing makes me feel like a chump, man. He said, Mio, you need to figure out why that is. We're talking about changing a belief system that I've long been carried with me that I thought was helping me, but is really killing me. Them false ideals, man, that street mentality, man, that I'm going to get you before you get me, man. What you talking to me for? What you want from me, man? You're going to, one day you're going to hurt me or you're going to fuck me over. That type of perception, that victim mentality, man, that like can't be trusted, man, because of the things that have been done that I have refused to let go of. Six Step says that street mentality belongs in the street, that I need to remove myself from the arena in which such games are played. That stuff ain't gonna help me stay clean, man. The things that I thought were really protecting me and that I thought were my strengths, man, here in Narcotics Anonymous in the recovery process, I find that's what's really killing me. If I'm having trouble letting go, it's probably because I'm holding on too tight. I don't gotta understand it. I don't gotta know it's gonna work. I just gotta believe that you believe that if we continue to do what we've been taught to do and continue to move forward, it's gonna be all right. Sure, there's pain, man, sure. Pain is inevitable, man, but misery, optional. There's another part in this book that talks about that we describe our struggle differently when our relationship to it changes. Huh? We describe our struggle differently when our relationship to it changes, right? Like I said, things ain't happening to me. They're happening for me, man. The things that I go through are really just experience strength and hope in disguise. Second Step says that we trust that we can grow in spite of the pain or perhaps in response to it. What are you going to do, Frank? What are you going to do, Henry? This shit ain't going your way. Okay, but what you going to do? That's what he told me. What are you going to do? Because I can help you, but I can't do it for you. Talks about distortions. She talked about that, man. Like another part of the literature talks about that, like that we use to change, that we found it easier to change our perception of reality than to change reality of itself, but that we needed to accept it because reality and life go on whether we want it to or not. That's what it was about, man. Changing my view of my current current stock of resentments and fears. Making it all right, man. I'm cool with where I'm going, even though I'm not, man. I use to change the way I feel. I use to be all right, man. I use to fit in. I use to belong. And I can do that even without the dope, man, in recovery, man. I can hang around people that I don't really like or try to be somebody that I'm really not. Still wearing that mask, still hiding behind a phony image, not being able to be the person that I want to be, but still being the person that I invented. I ain't gotta be using no drugs to do that, man. That shit's in me. That shit's a part of me. That's what I need to fix. That's what I need to get with, man. That's what I need to try to unlock and uncover, man. The real me. Because when I get here, I don't know who I am. I didn't. I had an idea of who I thought I was, but I really didn't know because I've been living a lie so long that I began to believe it, man. I became and did things that I knew I shouldn't have been doing, but I did it in order to fit in and feel good. Then I get here, man, and tell you, you ain't got to do that shit no more. If you don't go to the dope house, motherfucker, your ass ain't going to get high. What? I never heard that. You mean I ain't got to go to the dope house? Because for a while, it felt like I had to. For a while, it felt like there wasn't a choice, man. For a while, using was not whether I wanted to or not. It felt like I had to, being trapped in my need for that instant gratification, man. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the feelings, regardless of how it made me feel before, after, and during. Recovery isn't painful. Our resistance to it. But my perspective upon it is what decides the experience of that. That's what I'm getting at. We got to go through a lot of shit, man. Being clean and being in the program don't mean that, like, you ain't going to have to go through some shit, man. That just ain't a reality, man. We don't just get to live the way we want to live and have our cake and eat it too, man. Sometimes we got to do stuff that we don't want to do. I didn't want to be a father when I got here. I didn't. Figured out that that was part of the problem is why I sucked at it so bad is because I didn't want to do it. You might be scared to say that, but I ain't. I didn't want to be a dad. She got in the way of everything. I'm selfish. My raging self-obsession is at the core of my disease, man. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, man, and being a father just didn't fit into that. Plus, I didn't even know how to be a father. Plus, man, I thought that I was going to fail for sure. But, man, she ain't going to want nothing to do with me when she finds out who I really am. Because I feel a certain way about me, she must surely feel the same way. And that was in any relationship that I had, man. Talk about pain, talking about resistance, talking about fighting it, man, instead of just doing the best that I can, man. Being scared to make a move forward because I'm afraid that it ain't going to work out. That's even worse. Talking about that half-life, living by default, letting the circumstances of life make my decision for me, being a spectator in my own sport. What? That's like getting paid $30 million to ride the bench. I've been through a lot since I've been clean. A lot. My grandmother passed away. Couldn't keep my dick in my pants. That's probably one of the most painful areas for a while. My father can't stay out of prison. My sister don't talk to me. My daughter would cry every time she has to come over. My family on my dad's side looks down on me because I choose to get clean in the program instead of just stopping. My mother don't understand. She don't understand why I got to keep going to these meetings. Man, I've been clean long enough now. I shouldn't have to go through that, man. Like the person that took a special interest in a confused addict since 2009 decided that the program wasn't enough anymore and they didn't want to come around, man. Like probably the most painful thing that I've ever had to go through, man. We gonna stay clean together forever, man. We go everywhere together. He's sharing everywhere, man. Everybody's like, wow, man, you guys are always, that's your boy and blah, blah, blah. And then he ain't here no more. People at the home group are getting high left and right, man. They not coming back, man. Then they're saying it's our fault and that we don't love them because we don't want to go to the dope house with them. I'll talk about me, man, and the stuff that I've gone through, man. And like, it hasn't always been pretty, man. Recovery don't always look like recovery, and it damn sure don't always feel like it either, man. It doesn't mean that it isn't working, man. It doesn't mean that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, man. It doesn't always mean that I'm resisting change, man. It just means that in order to get to the change that I seek, man, I gotta go through some shit that really just ain't too good. I don't see it then, man. I'm blinded by the feeling. Sometimes I get stuck in it, man, instead of just letting it pass through. It's okay to feel how I feel, man, but it's not okay to stay in what I feel. Shit happens. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Stuff happens. She may not be acting right. That don't got shit to do with me. He may not want to come around no more. That don't got nothing to do with me, man. They may not understand. That don't got nothing to do with me, man. I'm not responsible for your recovery. I'm only responsible for mine. I don't gotta know why it's happening. I can cease questioning why things happen and just trust. Just do it. I'm in the effort business, man. I ain't in that outcome shit. That was part of the insanity before, is that I wore myself out trying to control people, places, and things and like manipulate outcomes. I don't gotta do that. I don't gotta live in fear, man. Like living in harmony with my reality is showing up and doing the best that I can and being all right with whatever happens. Just get in where you fit in, man. Let somebody help you. Change is gradual, man, and recovery is an ongoing process of awareness and change. It gonna take a while. I remember he used to say, man, 90 and 90 is a good idea, man. He said, but you might need a little more than that. I had about 18 months clean, and we were getting together for coffee, and he's like, motherfucker, I didn't think there was no way your ass was gonna stay clean. I don't gotta perfect this program, man. I don't gotta perfect these steps, man. There's no model for the recovering addict, man. Like, there's no, like, a wrong or right way to do the right thing, man. You just do it. You just get it, man. You just take the next step, man. No wrong way to do the right thing. Just keep going, man. Keep shining, man. Keep showing up, man, no matter how you feel. No matter what it looks like, man, no matter how many times you make that same decision over and over and over again, and you gotta keep making that phone call saying, I did it again, I did it again, I did it again. The literature talks about that we know that we're growing when we make new mistakes instead of old ones. That ain't been my experience, man. I had to make the same one over and over and over and over and over and over, stop for a while, over and over and over again. Right? I had to return to the scene of the crime many times. But when the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than my fear of change, he would say, surely then Joseph will let go. When the pain of not doing it becomes greater than the pain of doing it. When I can no longer stand where I'm at, man, when I can no longer get with who I am today, and I know that I'm meant for more, I know that I can be more, because this is coming out of the chapter of Vision of Hope, man. And yeah, we are a vision of hope, man, but I believe what it's talking about is that vision of hope that I get out of the step working process of who I am, but more importantly, who I could be. It says that meetings keep us in touch where we've been, but more importantly, where we could go. That's exciting. That's powerful. That I'm coming up on almost 6 years clean, man, and I still got a long way to go. I still got a lot of work to do. I still suffer from the same disease, man, that wants to express itself in ways that are antisocial. That's chronic, progressive, and fatal. It ain't changed. It ain't going nowhere, man. It's still cunning, baffling, and power, insidious by nature. But the difference is, man, that today, I have the vision of hope, and I have a realistic view of who I am and where I want to go. I ain't afraid today, man. I ain't afraid to move forward in spite of everything telling me inside sometimes that I ain't going to be able to make it. I be talking to myself, man. Not out loud, but I be talking to myself like, fuck you, I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's the same voice. It ain't a different voice. It's just me, just three different ways. I refuse to be denied, man. I refuse to go back, man. I refuse to come, man, I've come too far to look back now. I've come too far to go back to where I was when I got here, and the good thing is I don't have to. I don't have to, man. My life is amazing, man. The people I'm surrounded with are amazing, man. The shit I get to do is amazing, man. And like most people that ain't in the program that would look at my life and where I stay, they'd probably be like, man, your life is fucked up. You ain't got hardly shit. But to me, this is the best life I can live. To me, I ain't never been where I'm at today. I understand today, man, that just because you got everything on the outside don't mean you got it together on the inside, right? Because I could have nothing and have everything and have everything and feel like nothing, period. This ain't a program of self-improvement, man. This ain't about how much shit I can get on the outside, man. The real hit is whether I'm willing to continue to take that journey inward. We got an inside disease, right? So recovery is an inside job. We get the message as we carry the message. We gain a purpose as we serve the purpose. Mm-hmm. Painful? I go through shit that I don't really like, man, but I ain't got to question it, man. I ain't going nowhere. Shit, we make meetings like a motherfucker. I see most of these people all over the place, all over, all the time, shining, winning, getting it, recovering, living, instead of surviving, instead of being in that self-made prison, man, being who we were meant to be all along, whole human beings. Facebook. Please silence all electronics at this time and refrain from texting or messaging. Man, I'm real grateful for the committee for asking me to come share, man, and I hope I said something that you can maybe get with, man. I don't know where I'm at with time. I don't really care. I feel like I'm starting to ramble, so like I'm going to close with this, man. If you're new, or you're old, or you're a part-timer, or a sometimer, or a one-timer, man, please, just keep coming back. You don't ever have to get loaded again. I don't care what your mind tells you. I don't care what she looked like. I don't give a damn if they don't want you around at all. You don't ever have to use again. It says being clean, we are released from our chains. And the minute that we admit our powerlessness, we never have to use again. Ever. 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 That any addict, Tomas, any addict, not a black addict, not a white addict, not a brown addict, have got addict, don't got addict, gay addict, straight addict, smoke crack addict, shot dope addict, snort coke addict, I don't know any addict with a desire to stop using, man. Any addict can stop using drugs, lose that desire to use, and find a new way to list. Just keep coming back, man. When you want to, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, if you think it's working, if you don't think it's working, just show up, man. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. Thanks for letting me share.